Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
It's jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere. No one seems to care. Well, I do. Hey, who's in charge here? It's jungle out there. Poison in the very air we breathe. You know what's in the water that you drink? Well, I do. It's amazing. People think I'm crazy. So worry all the time. If you paid attention, you'd be worried too. You better pay attention. All this world we love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. Cause there's a jungle out there. There's a jungle out there.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find.
He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Stand by. All together now. 2, 3, 4.
One more time.
Hey! It's a real fall kind of morning here. A little bit of sun out there, a little bit of cool jacket weather. Love it. This is fall in Chicago. This is what fall in Chicago should be. Not that dreary, misty, nasty kind of stuff. Do you agree with me, Helen?
This is my favorite time of year.
A lot of people say that. I agree. Now, I feel two ways about it. The weather is always the best. But it's sad that the sunlight is disappearing. That's sad. The crops are turning yellow and the trees are losing their leaves. And there's a kind of sadness to that. But other than that, it's really beautiful. And if you embrace Christmas or you embrace the idea that, hey, we're headed to the holidays.
Halloween is my Christmas.
There we go. Oh, you're a Halloween person.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
So you dress up, you do the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to dress up on a Sunday morning here for me in some kind of Halloween deal?
Maybe.
I can't wait.
Sure. Make good radio, huh?
You know what? Just me reacting to it. That's the radio, baby.
I see. It's like a little radio play.
Exactly. Little theater of the mind. That's how a radio works. Hey, good Sunday morning to everybody. Jam-packed show. Big surprise, huh, Helen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like I never throw a bunch of things into the show all at the same time and try to squeeze them in before our 2 hours are up. One of the things about having filled in for Stephanie Miller with Wayne was that 3 hours. Wow. That luxury of that extra hour in there is really amazing. I want to thank the great folks at Lurby. Hold on. Let's do that. We can do that better. There we go. It needs to resonate. I was out there yesterday signing books and got to meet some really wonderful people who many of whom listen to the show. And it was funny. You could tell the people that were going to buy a book because they would walk in the door and they would just make a beeline to me. Just, you know, the folk. I actually managed to sell a couple to folks who were just hovering and kind of like, "What are you? Who are you? And why are you here?" But the ones who wanted the book go right over to the table and introduce themselves and say hi, and that was great. So. Lurvy's is a great place to go. And, of course it's on, I should have the address right in front of me, but basically it's on Dempster, east of 294 in Des Plaines. So, you folks should go out there and get some great stuff because it's that time of year. It's 2550 East Dempster. There we go. Google is your friend sometimes. 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines. So I have to let folks know, however, next week I am going to be at The Growing Place at 25 West 471st Plank Road in Naperville. I'm going to be there from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are having their fall planting celebration weekend. Now, they have two locations. They have one in Aurora and one in Naperville. I will be only at the Naperville because I cannot split myself in two. If I could do that, I would be at both places. I will be there from 11 to 2 signing books. They have a bunch of great stuff going on at The Growing Place. And I hope that some of you in the western side of the city will stop by and be part of the action. You can always go to thegrowingplace.com to see what's going on. They have their calendar and they talk about their festivals, and this is one of the great festivals that they have. And you'll find out that I'm there. It's a picture of me for the fall planting celebration weekend. And I hope folks will come by. And then the week after that, of course, this is this Saturday. This Saturday, I'll be at the Growing Place. And then the following Saturday, which is the 4th of October, I'm going to be signing books at Vern Goer's Greenhouse at 5620 South Oak Street in Hinsdale. That will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You know, if you're standing in line, I'll stick around. I'm not going to bolt out the door. If folks want to get copies of my book, which you have heard of,
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
And, you know, if you like it, if you've read it, if you like it, you should write to me. Let me know. So I can find ways to use really great quotes. In fact, if you like it and you want to go on Google and give me a review, that's even better. Because, you know, let's face it, the New York Times review books probably is not going to get their hands on this. So I'm selling it word of mouth. I'm selling it one book at a time. I'm selling it one listener at a time, one Facebook friend at a time, one Twitter contact at a time. It's a hard way to sell books. So I hope that you folks who haven't gotten your copies yet start thinking. The holidays are coming up as we're in fall. We're getting into fall now. Start thinking your gifts for your friends for the holidays. You can always get a copy of
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
And I hope you do. All right. On the show today, in the green room with Mike, Melanie Veras Herrera, who wants to eat your weeds. Well, she's eating her own as well. And she's telling you how to fix them. Honest to goodness. And it's pretty cool stuff. There's a lot of nutrition in weeds. And yet we're snobs. We're snobs. We look at those plants, we go, let's poison them. Well, what if you put them on your table? What if you cook them? Might do you some good. So she's got a book called The Front Yard Forager, Identifying, Collecting, and Cooking the 30 Most Common Urban Weeds. We'll start with her. At 9:32, I'm jealous because Lisa Albrecht from the team, who we haven't seen in a little bit because she, you know, deserted us from Mighty House, is in New York City for the People's Climate March. And they're talking about possibility of having 100,000 people there. And I'm jealous because I can't be there. Got to be here doing this thing. And she's going to report from the Big Apple. So I'm very eager to hear how that is all coming together. I guess it doesn't actually start till, 11:30 Eastern time, the big march. But I'm sure people will be gathering and she'll tell us all about it. Rick DeMaio weather at 9:45 in the 10 o'clock hour. I just saw on Facebook, Greg Whitstock, the pond guy, is on his way in the limo. He and Carla Whitstock from Aquascape Inc. Are here to talk about their TV show. And I guess when you're a TV star, you get to ride in the limo. The National Geographic Wild or Nat Geo Wild TV show Pond Stars has been running for a year. Laughing about this, Helen. This is a real show.
I just really think that title is goofy.
Pond Stars.
Yeah.
Pond Stars, nothing but Pond Stars.
I also like the idea that they're arriving in a limo. That's pretty classy.
How I love Pond Stars. See them in a few minutes. Okay, yeah, in the limo. Maybe there's a pond in the limo as well, and they're taking a dip. But Greg and Carla Whitstock will be here to talk about Pond Stars and the Aquascape Foundation and the great stuff they're doing there. And then finally, in the last few, I've had such a busy week. I spent a couple of days in LaSalle County. You know, I've been talking about the sand mine fracking, the frack sand mine going, that's what I'm trying to say. The frack sand mines in LaSalle County. I've been talking about this for 2.5 years, going on 3 years now. Finally got a chance to go down there and meet the folks who live in the area and see what they're dealing with. And it is not pretty. And I'm going to be talking to a couple of people who have been on the show before, but now I have the benefit of having been down there, met them, gone on a tour, a sand mine tour, believe it or not. You can see some of the photos on my website, MikeNovak.net. As always, you should always go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and go to this week's show. I write about all this stuff. If you miss the show, you can go to the podcast page. I met some people yesterday, didn't realize that they could listen to the show afterwards. Well, yeah, I got podcasts and they're free. They're right now. I mean, I might turn into Norman Goldman and have to charge for them. It ain't an easy business, radio, in the 21st century.
Well, people don't want that to happen. They just need to support your advertisers.
Well, they need to support my advertisers. Go to my advertisers. Thank you. And go to the advertisers page and say, you need to put more money into Mike's show because he's really doing a good job.
Yeah.
And then buy some products there.
Yeah, buy
you know,
stuff.
Like, go to Christy Weber right now.
Get your lawn landscaping done.
Get some Milorganite. You know, all those great folks who are on the show.
Dunk some mosquitoes.
Yes. There you... I'm going to put you in charge of this, Helen.
Woo.
At any rate, so Diane Gassman and Ashley Williams are going to be on the show. We're going to talk. We're going to update what's going on in LaSalle County. And at some point, I think I'm going to put together a little bit of a video about it because I took a lot of video while I was out there. And I hope that I can do something with that soon. So that's all on the big show today. 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. As always, if you want to call or comment, and you might. In the next couple of minutes, about weeds, about the weeds in your lawn, in your garden that you can eat, that you can forage, that you can harvest, that you can cook, that you can put on your plate. And we will talk to Melanie Varas Herrera in just a second. In this country, we're always looking for the latest, greatest thing, whether it's automobiles, iPhones, or pencil sharpeners. I have some great pencil sharpeners. In the September-October issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, you'll find a story. There's another great sponsor, by the way. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. And you'll find a story about 10 great shrubs that will have your neighbors asking, what? Here's the list. Garden Glow Dogwood, Earl False Spirea, or is it Ural False Spirea?
Viking Black Chokeberry, Northland Blueberry, Double Take Quince, Ironclad Viburnum, Leptodermis. How did that get in there? Golden Spirit, Smokebush, Pink American Beautyberry, and Dappled Willow. And don't tell me you have any of these because you don't. So there. And don't tell me you don't need to pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine because you just heard the list because you didn't write it down. Ha! And don't tell me you don't want a copy of the magazine because my column is on the inside back page because, well, that's just mean. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Pick one up at newsstands all over town or get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to IllinoisSolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
Attention, gardeners, attention! You are under attack!
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
That's right, Jean-Luc Picard. The funniest book ever written about gardening is now invading the planet Earth. Author Tom Ogren says, okay, this actually is the funniest book I ever read about gardening. Mike Novak is a hoot. New York Times best-selling author Amy Stewart stopped writing books for 2 minutes to say, I never thought that a description of powdery mildew would make me laugh out loud, but that was before I picked up this book. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise says,
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
See? He's absolutely obsessed by the book. Get your copy today. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. That's aroundtheblockpress.com. Be the first on your block to embrace the attack. Resistance is futile.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
And with that, I go to the phone line and I bring in Melanie Voras. And am I pronouncing that right? Voras Herrera, Melanie?
Actually, it's Melanie Voras.
Oh!
Yeah.
Voras, see? Now, you need to send out a pronunciation guide with your press releases. Voras Herrera. Okay, Melanie Voras Herrera, who's the author of The Front Yard Forager, Identifying, Collecting, and Cooking the 30 Most Common Urban Weeds. How long have you been doing this? I don't mean writing books. I mean collecting weeds.
Well, not really all that long, Mike. About 10 years ago, this is after a lifetime of foraging more normal things like berries. You know, a lot of people pick berries, right? But about 10 years ago, I discovered that a whole lot of the weeds in my garden that I was yanking out in favor of some substandard hybridized vegetables are actually edible and probably more healthy than what I was growing in my garden.
That's a remarkable, and you know what, first of all, I have to say that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
You're enlightened. It surprises a lot of people.
Well, there are a number of things that you write about in your book that I agree with. There's a couple of little things that I disagree with, and some things that you made me think, you know, I need to consider this a little more. The idea that weeds should be cultivated more certainly makes sense to me in light of what you explain in the book, which is that not too long ago, a few generations ago, our parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents were growing these weeds on purpose to feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just simply fallen into disfavor, and we've gotten kind of snobbish about this. It's one of the things you point out in the book is that it's about, the folks who grew these weeds and who would consume them were poorer people, and we're snobs about that. It's a classism kind of thing, isn't it?
It is, and some historians say that it's a result of the Depression, that at the end of the Depression, people associated those foods with starvation foods, and they didn't want other people to look down their noses at them for eating them.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of fell out of favor. But they were brought over from Europe as food and medicine plants a couple of centuries or more ago. And in Europe, these plants are still eaten as food. In fact, in some of our developing countries, the UN and World Health Organization have looked at using some of the weeds that we're so busy killing as food crops in areas where they're suffering problems with drought.
And that's a good point that we and it's yet another thing I agree with that you've written in the book, that we have become obsessed, neurotic, actually, about killing these plants. And I have folks come up to me and say, how do I kill X, Y, or Z in my garden, even in a crack in the sidewalk? And my first response is always, why do you want to kill it? What's the point?
Absolutely, absolutely. And gosh, you know, I know it sounds a little bit wacky to come out in favor of weeds. It's really, you really have to step back to get your mind around it. But I've even discovered, and this is after writing the book, I've discovered now that a lot of the weeds that I had been pulling are actually good for my garden.
Another thing you point out, biodiversity. And I have said that for a long time. I learned this a number of years ago. I had a lawn guy say to me, actually, you know, in your lawn, if you got some weeds in there, you've got biodiversity, and it makes everything there a little healthier.
It does. And, you know, we're also concerned about our honeybees and, you know, keeping the foods that we have in our grocery stores available. Well, the best way to help out our honeybees is to provide for more diversity in your yard. In fact, some of our honeybees are doing better in the city because there's actually more diversity of vegetation than there is in, say, an almond field.
You know, that's interesting because it's one of the things I heard this year, especially earlier in the year, was that people in the city were seeing pollinators, they were seeing bees, and people in the suburbs and in the exurban areas were not seeing as many.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, one of the things that happens in the city, too, especially in a city like Chicago, folks in my neighborhood are not buying pesticides.
Right.
They don't care about that.
It is kind of a suburban habit, because we have, especially in the Midwest, and I don't mean to knock the Midwest, because that's where I'm from.
Oh, you're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, I am. And I remember from way back, we have the you know, giant green lawn, and they are beautiful to look at. But we sure put a lot of energy into this green carpet.
Mm-hmm.
We do it here, too, to some degree, but...
You're in Seattle.
I'm in Seattle now, and as popular a notion as it is, it doesn't rain here all the time.
I know about it because...
drought in the summer.
Yeah, I had a house out that way, and you guys are just like other parts of the country. You get a certain point of the year, and the rain stops.
Right. Yeah, and in the summer we get far less rain than you guys get, so our lawns dry up, and here people have just sort of given up, so they so they don't even bother watering or putting pesticides down. And I think the message has been hammered home here a little bit harder than in some other parts of the country. But boy, I sure wish it would catch on in the Midwest, because I was just back there doing a series of workshops, and I couldn't believe how many acres and acres and acres of green lawn. We just have to step back and ask ourselves, why are we, you know, this is good soil for something else. Why are we tending so much grass?
And killing the biology with the pesticides and the over-fertilization, as you mentioned in the book. And that's, and you're right about the Midwest. Unfortunately, I live here, and I love living in the Midwest. But I know people who sell certain products that are eco-friendly, certain grass seeds. I had a friend of mine who was in that business say, I can't sell it in the Midwest. You know, on the East Coast and the West Coast, we do great. In Canada, we do great. In the Midwest of America, of the United States, not so much. And I've noticed that also in terms of organic and natural lawn care in the Midwest. You'd think that that business would be booming. It's not. And it's disturbing to me.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And you know, folks, we're talking about, you know, we haven't been specific yet, but when we say weeds, we're talking about things you consider weeds. And again, it's just a plant. This is not a moral judgment. That's the other thing. I'll go into a garden talk sometimes, Melanie, and I'll say the word creeping Charlie. Some people hiss. And I say, wait a second. It's not a moral judgment. It's just a plant.
Right.
It really is.
Right. And we do use these emotionally loaded words to describe some of these plants. Like we use the term super weeds to describe weeds that are now resistant to pesticides or herbicides in agricultural fields. Or we call things invasive species.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of an emotionally loaded word, too. We haven't gotten out of the habit of hubris. You know, we tend to think that we can and should manage the environment to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Whether we're environmentalists or on the other end of the spectrum.
Right. And both. And that's the point that you bring up in your book that I thought was really maybe the most interesting thing is that, and it's something that I've been thinking about for several years, which is we're a global society now. And the idea that we can keep all plants away from certain parts of the globe is kind of silly at this point, that, you know, they're here. We got to figure out how to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are more damaging than others, mm-hmm. but we're stuck.
Right. And actually, the science is still really out with regard to invasive species. I mean, we know that for sure it's a big problem on smaller islands.
Sure.
But, you know, there's never been a case of there's no science to support that an invasive species would make a plant go extinct on the mainland.
Interesting.
There's just no science to support it. There are a couple books out on this, other than mine. Of course, mine being the best one.
Because you've got recipes. And you know, we're talking about, I haven't mentioned names, but things like chickweed, clover, dandelion, dead nettle, plantain, amaranth, daylily. You eat daylilies, and apparently all parts of the...
are wonderful.
Really?
Yeah, and I know they're all over the Midwest. My grandparents used to have them growing out by the ditch.
I don't consider them weeds necessarily anyway.
They're pretty, aren't they? They're too pretty to be called weeds.
They're common plants, but not weeds.
Yeah. Well, depends on where you are in the country, I guess. They can pop up where they're not wanted. And you know that that's the definition of a weed, just a plant that pops up where it's unwanted. But daylilies are actually sold in Asian food stores. So there are other cultures that are where that plant is really common. Same with some of these other plants like chickweed and amaranth and just about anything that grows in your lawn. Now, on the island of Crete, where we have a lot of centenarians, people living over 100, those folks are eating those types of greens daily. They go out on the hillside, collect a bunch of weeds, steam them up, put a little bit of oil and vinegar on them, and you can't tell me that that doesn't have something to do with the healthfulness of the Mediterranean diet. I don't think it's all fish and olive oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you mentioned, it bears repeating, many of these so-called weeds have higher nutritional values than the food, and I'm using air quotes here, food crops that we buy in the store.
Right, right. And that's kind of, excuse me, it's a little bit hard to make a hard and fast judgment about that, because who's going to put money into researching the nutritional value of weeds? Not very many people.
Well, then maybe not.
Be made.
But as you point out, you saw photos from Hurricane Katrina and people, they didn't have food, and they'd be standing in these areas where all these weeds were growing, and you were looking at the photo and saying, eat that because it's nutritious.
Yeah, they were standing in the middle of a Garden of Eden-type feast and waiting for an airdrop of food. And this just underscores the need to, or the desire we should have to know these plants. It doesn't mean you have to eat like this every day, but doesn't it make sense to know? I mean, other species know what plants they can and can't eat. We seem to be the only species that are kind of, we've just forgotten, and we're willing to, excuse me, I have a bit of a cold. We're willing to give over to the experts all of the information about, you know, what we're...
I will put it another way. We've been brainwashed. And we've been brainwashed in so many ways when it comes to chemicals, when it comes to, you know, what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat.
I think this might be part of the Midwest problem, too, is that we have such a strong chemical industry residing there and growing our food for us. That is one way to get a lot of... food out there, but I'm not convinced it's healthy food. A lot of us are looking to eat locally and organically, but and I totally understand this. I have lived my entire life having a difficult time affording that stuff. Who can afford organic, local?
And it's right in your backyard. You want local? You want local? Go out into your backyard.
Step outside. It's right there.
Yeah. And
now, having said that, it's only there if you don't put pesticides on your lawn.
Exactly.
So part of the book is, like, let's look at some of the incentives or disincentives for putting pesticides on your lawn. This might be something that you rely on, particularly in, I don't know what your views are on global warming, but whether it's there or not, whether it's...
Of course it's there. I mean, and we don't use the term global warming here. We say climate change or climate variability, and it is happening.
Yeah, yeah. So whether you believe in that or not, doesn't it make sense to...
I don't care if you believe in it. It's a reality, okay? It's a reality. I don't care about your opinion, all right? Your opinions, if you say it's not happening, you're wrong. Go away. I don't want to talk to you. So, hey, listen, let's take a phone call. We're talking to Melanie Voris, is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Melanie Voris Herrera, and the author of The Front Yard Forager. Mike in Waukegan, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Mike and Melanie. I just like to add, you know, you were talking about the daylilies. Yeah, the tubers are very good to eat. Mm-hmm. I found that out years ago. I studied foraging years ago, and this past... couple years I was drinking this grape juice that I kind of got addicted to. It's 100% pure grape juice, but it's kind of an off brand, and it comes from places like Argentina and places, you know, south of the border, where they probably put a lot of pesticides on it, and I knew that it was probably on there, but I figured the antioxidants from the grapes would probably protect me from it. But it caught up with me this earlier this summer. I went in for a physical, and I was diagnosed with a PSA of 5.5. And that's kind of in the danger range for prostate cancer, you know. And they wanted to biopsy me and all this. And I talked them into putting it off. So I started letting the weeds grow in my yard. So I started eating organically, just straight organically. And I was eating like, you know, dandelion, and especially a lot of burdock because it's very bitter. And I figured it, you know, that the bitterness is probably medicinal. Mm-hmm. And I went as strictly as organic as I could. And I was just diagnosed about a week ago with a PSA of 1.82. So I brought it down that far. And well, thank you.
You deserve it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, here, you know, the whole thing is now I got a notice here in my hand that says important notice, violation of the weeds ordinance. All premises and exterior property shall be maintained free from weeds or plant growth in excess of 10 inches. All noxious weeds shall be prohibited. Mm-hmm. And weeds shall be defined as all grasses, annual plants, and vegetation other than trees or shrubs provided. However, this term shall not include cultivated flowers or gardens. Okay. So I have to deal with the city.
Stop there for just a second.
All right, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know. We only have a couple minutes, this is such a great issue. I could devote a whole show to it. But what do you got to say, Melanie, about that?
Oh, I just wanted to say that you notice he said at the end, with the exception of cultivated plants. I have a weed garden. You can't have noxious weeds. It's akin to growing marijuana. They're illegal. They're actually illegal. It's funny to me that a plant can be illegal, but you're actually required to, or they will confiscate these weeds, as this gentleman just pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of the weeds that do not fall under noxious, and that's a lot of them that grow in your yard, you can cultivate them over 10 inches high if you put them in a separate bed. It's all...
It's
nuance.
It's appearance, you know. The part of it is, yeah, make it look like a garden, and
exactly,
you can get away with it. Mike, great call. Thank you so much. I'm glad you're listening. We got to wrap it up here, Melanie. And I got a tweet. Somebody wanted to know, tell us what local weed/plants you could eat and cook. Well, it's in the book. That you got to get the book. I did name some of them. Some of the ones I didn't name: horsetail, linden, mm-hmm. nipplewort, mm-hmm. Stinging nettle, wild carrot, or
Queen Anne's lace.
Dock, as our caller just mentioned, evening primrose, money plant, or honesty, Japanese knotweed. There's a way to get rid of your knotweed. Put it on your plate.
Oh. That's right.
So
as much resveratrol as grape juice or wine.
Amazing. We didn't even have a chance to get any recipes, but if folks want a copy of the book, go to my website, mikenovak.net. I've got a link, which actually takes you to your Facebook page right now. I understand you're having issues with your website.
Louis Vuitton is where it directs to.
Oh, God. That's amazing. Well, but they can go to that, and you can go to Amazon and all the usual places. Melanie, great having you on the show. Thank you so much, and good luck with the book.
Okay, thank you so much.
All righty, bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
In the Green Room.
You dig.
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com, right in your own backyard.
All right, let's just go on the phone because being prepared as always, Lisa Albrecht says, my phone is about to die. Is that right, Lisa?
Well, it's not about to die, but I have like a whole day of pictures that I need to take. Mike, there are hundreds of thousands of people here. We started at, I think, 70th Street, and we've gotten to 76th Street, and it is just throngs and throngs and throngs of people. There are people here against fracking. There are people here against commercialized farming. There are people, mothers against pollution. I mean, there are T-shirts with pandas that say "Save the Humans." This is so amazing. I wish you guys were here.
I wish I was there too. And by the way, folks, you should know that Lisa is at the People's Climate March in New York City. I've been reading. They say there might be 100,000 people. Who knows? You know,
probably more than that.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. There will definitely be. I'm thinking this could be close to 500,000 people.
Wow.
On the train, and I haven't had time to post because we've just been taking nonstop pictures. On the train, all the subway signs were advertising the event. There's newspapers advertising the event. Sierra Club is here. There's a whole bunch of people. There's a really cool dinosaur that's been made out of, like, car oil canisters and things like that. There's just so much creativity, and it's just so amazing. There are, I think I heard something like 50 organizations behind this event. It's well-coordinated, and I think we have found the tipping point. I am so encouraged and inspired and hopeful about our future.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the signs and the advertising. That's actually a source of criticism that a friend sent me a link to a news, an article and the writer who actually was supporting the campaign says, I hope this works, points out that there's been a lot of money involved in this and that they have been advertising. And he said, when's the last march you saw that had advertisements on the subway?
It's an amazing thing. How much money does the fossil fuel, how many ads do you see from BP that talk about how fabulous they are? Let's stand up, fight them with money. I don't think that is a bad thing at all. I think the only way to educate people, as we were walking up, we were hearing parents on strollers who were not part of the environment movement, who were explaining to their children what the rest of us were doing. That is how we make a difference, by being noticed, by being seen. And you can't, you know what the realities of today's America is, it's advertising, it's dollars, it's being noticed, it's large media campaigns, and this is how it starts.
I think you're absolutely right, though. It's like, if they can spend the money, why can't we spend the money? If they can, and they get it, you know, through tax breaks, we have to raise it, you know, through
right.
through donations.
Exactly. This is grassroots, people taking money and time out of their own pockets, as opposed to the Koch brothers just living off indemnities forever. You know, but I'm sitting on the footsteps of the library, and there are people here from New Jersey, Massachusetts, Chicago, Michigan. I'm looking at, across the street at signs from folks that came in from Missouri. I mean, this is a national event, and you don't get national turnout if you don't advertise and tell people to come. They did.
You are really excited, aren't you?
I am bouncing off the walls. I didn't sleep last night because I couldn't wait to get here. I feel like I found my people.
I have a tweet here from somebody who says, are the networks even admitting the People's Climate March is happening? Actually, they are. I've seen reports in the various media, including the mainstream media. When you have 100,000 people descending on New York, you have to notice that.
Well, and it doesn't even start for an hour, and the streets are already packed.
Wow. This is, now you say,
we did not walk to the beginning where the indigenous tribes are. They've got it organized by section. So if you're into that, we have solutions, you walk with those people. If you're into the anti-nuclear, you walk with those people. So they have block by block coordinated so that you can find your voice, your group, so that there's solidarity within. So there's people who, you know, like the farming people, there's a whole bunch of farmers all walking together. You know, you no longer feel like you're one voice all by yourself. You have soldiers at arms right next to you.
That is just absolutely amazing. Now you're going to take some photos. I want you to post some from your smartphone onto the Mike Novak Show.
My phone won't let me. I can do Mike Novak, but it won't let me tag the show. So
all right.
Put those over. But I've been taking pictures, but we've been walking and taking so many pictures, I haven't even had time to log on to Facebook and upload them. But I will do that really soon. I'll take a break here in a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you can get them on my personal page, Mike Novak, get those up there, and we'll try to get them on Twitter and wherever we can. You said you came down, came on the bus.
We took the train, actually. We took the train down.
All right.
The subway ads, the top of the train car, all of those ads were about today. Getting people, I don't know if you can hear, the panda people are all exclaiming right now.
the panda people.
Heated. Each little section has their own public speakers and their own events that are happening right in front of us. There's media all over. I'm looking at just block after block after block. Standing on stairs and all I see is people. For as far as my eyes can see, going straight down Central Park West.
You know, I feel like we need to have one more report before the end of the show. Is that going to be a possibility?
Yeah, let me call back in. Do you want me to call about a quarter to 11?
Yeah, that sounds great. Maybe 10 to, and we'll sure. see what we can get in before the end of the show. All right, that's
all right.
Lisa Albrecht.
Send over the mic and back to Rick then.
Yeah, we'll be going back to Rick in just a second, and I'm sure he's going to find this very interesting as well. That's
squeezing me in.
Are you kidding? I'm glad that the Mike Novak Show is represented at the People's Climate March in New York City. I would love to have been there myself.
Great, great, great. I miss you. Wish you were here. I know you would be loving this.
All right. Lisa Albrecht, right. Reporting from New York City. We'll talk to you next hour.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. That's very cool. That's great stuff. All right. Rick DeMille weather is coming up, so stick around for that.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases. But there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in mosquito dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, birdbaths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakening, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakening features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, also streaming live throughout the, we're having issues here. We can't see him. Well, try to get Rick again. Rick, if you're listening, your phone is going straight to voicemail, which usually means that the battery's dead, right? So I said to Helen, "Hey, let's get Lisa back." Of course, she's not picking up because she's probably all wrapped up in this. So at the moment, I'll take a phone call, 773-763-9278. I'm actually interested in folks' responses to the march in New York City. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the lead up to that, the folks who were walking across the country from L.A., stopped in Chicago. Have we got her there? Okay, let's go back to Lisa, because Lisa, you're doing the weather forecast now.
Well, in New York, it's a little overcast, but very pleasant, slightly humid, so you might want to make sure you're wearing shorts.
Okay.
Not sure about the extended forecast, because that'll be Chicago tomorrow.
New York City weather. So we got a few. This is great, though. We've got a few more minutes. I was just talking about how you and I were both at the Chicago gathering, and it was, frankly, a little disappointing in terms of the turnout. I mean, the people who spoke were wonderful, and that's great, because there's a lot of dedicated folks and committed. And it made me wonder whether this was going to carry through to New York City, but it seems like it has.
Yeah, New York City is absolutely amazing. Right now we're passing the whole military's, stop war crimes. It's bad for the climate, and the U.S. military supports clean energy. So I'm telling you, everybody's here. up ahead we can see the basically the Occupy Wall Street folks. So I can see big signs that talk about capitalism for the planet. And less money for the polluters. I mean, there's barely a group that I don't think is here.
Yeah, there's not a group that is Yeah. And of course, you've been involved with the Climate Reality Project.
Yes.
And they've played a big part in this too, haven't they?
They're here too, and Al will be Al.
Are you on a first name basis with Al Gore?
Excuse me, former Vice President Al Gore will be marching today. Just walking down the street yesterday, I just bumped into randomly Bill McKibben from 350.org, just like a regular guy walking down the street. I'm like, oh, Bill.
And did you say to him, Bill, how come you haven't been on Mike's show yet?
You know what, that would have been a great idea. On the train, we bumped into several university instructors that are bringing out scores of college students. In fact, I'm following a college student right now. Thank you so much for being here. From Syracuse University, it's just really, really so inspiring. There are young people, there are strollers, there are canes with old people walking, dogs. I mean, you name it, everybody's here from hippies, the generation prior to me, to my generation, to the youth of today.
So is your feeling that it's a good mix, a wide range of folks that are there?
It's massive. I would say it's widely diverse in terms of many different nationalities, many different races, many different ages, and many different causes, reasons why people are here. You know, it's not just, you know, some people think, you know, it's just about, people who are against nuclear energy or this or that. But there are so many reasons why this needs to happen now.
And of course, you being the solar person have got to feel like this is a chance also for people to get on board with, as you said, alternative energy.
Yes. In fact, I just took a picture in front of Abe Lincoln holding a solar panel.
Wait, was it the real Abe Lincoln? Or?
Well, he is petrified. He was in brass, so I'm not sure if what's inside.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was somebody dressed up like Abe Lincoln holding a solar panel.
A statue in front of the New York Library.
are people in costumes, or is it just sort of, you know, put on your shirt and shorts?
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting environmental messages on shirts. We've been trying to figure out how we could score a couple. There's a lot of free stuff being given away. There are a few people who are, you know, dressed up as like looking at a woman that I think it's an eagle on her head, I'm not sure. And we saw some people who were on bikes that had their bikes dressed up as swordfish against overfishing the oceans. So So, yeah, so people are, there's some really creative stuff out there. They did have guidelines. They didn't want, you know, too many apparatuses and devices, and really were just looking for feet on the street so that, you know, just crowd control.
Speaking of that, what have you been have there been instructions about how you are to gather and where to go?
Well, so they've got everything. They've got all the way down from, I think, 52nd Street to 87th Street, all along Central Park West. And they have the entire road blocked off. They do have, like, an emergency lane, like just one lane of traffic that nobody is allowed to cross into. Other than that, it's just wall-to-wall people. There's tons of New York police officers out here. There's a lot of safety folks just to make sure that they can keep peace and order. But it looks like it's a big party, really. People are excited to be here.
Unbelievable. All right, I'm going to let you go again. Yeah, get back to me in about an hour, and okay. And we'll figure out how it's going.
Great. Thanks so much for calling.
All right, thanks, Lisa Albrecht in New York City. Woo-hoo! with the People's Climate March. Let's go to the phones. Bring in Mike. You're with Mike. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Mike McDonald, the photographer?
Yeah. Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Give us a plug for your website.
Oh, chicagonature.com. It's being reworked, but chicagonature.com. It's my photography celebrates Chicago's rich, rare biodiversity and natural wonders.
And you take some magnificent photographs, Mike. So people, and I know you teach as well, and folks could do a lot worse than to get into one of your classes.
Yeah, thank you. So as a self-proclaimed evangelist of biodiversity and Chicago's natural wonders, I nearly blew my top when, what was it, Melanie?
Yeah.
When she said invasive's emotional, and then when you said everything's global anyway, and like it's and basically it's all about what happens is the invasives come here and the local species can't catch up because it's evolution. It'll take, you know, could take thousands of years, and by that time they're gone. And if you would talk to any restorationist, you don't. She said, "Oh, there's no evidence that a species on a mainland went extinct."
And that's when your top of your head came off.
Great test, you know. It's like, let's kill something off just to prove that it's obvious. You know, like you talk to any people like Steve Packard and all these other leaders who have restored nature preserves from basically nothing and brought it back.
You know, you might be right in that, and we're flat out of time. I think there's certain parts of this that are controversial, and I think it deserves to have a show about it.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that.
Yeah, and I think so. It's like, when is invasive, and when is it just the way the world is evolving. Mike, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Well thought out. All right, second hour.
Guys. Pat, the show is great.
Thanks. Pat Skatch is going to be with us with some weather coming up. Appreciate that, Pat.
The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Over at 10, you told me time and again, but you're late. I wait around and then.
Why do you build me up, Buttercup? I guess I'm speaking about Rick DeMaio. So sometimes there are other meteorologists, well, actually, not quite a meteorologist. That's not your official title, is it, Pat Skatch?
No, it isn't. Climate research and observer.
There we go. But Pat's listening to the show. We had trouble getting a hold of Rick DeMaio, so we didn't get a forecast in the first hour. So I appreciate you calling us, Pat.
Sure. Glad to help, Mike. Today we're going to have about a 20% chance of showers, very, very slight chance. That's going to be in, say, about 2 to about 5 p.m. This afternoon, if it works out, and the winds will be diminishing, too. It's quite breezy out there right now. High of about 65 degrees. This evening, low in the 40s, and then through the rest of the week, we're going to be in the upper 60s to the low 70s. So we're going to have a nice, dry autumn week coming up.
That's exactly what I needed. Every show needs a backup weather forecaster, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that, Pat.
Have a very nice Sunday, Mike.
All right, you too, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, that's how it works here, you know? One person can't make it, and the other person steps in, and thanks to Pat Sketch, I have no idea what happened to Rick DeMaio. I suspect his phone died, and he didn't know it. And we'll find out later. Before we move on to the Wittstocks, who are in the studio. In fact, hey, do you want me to get in this picture too, like this? Is this what you're doing? You're getting both of us? And Greg is doing his own PR at the moment, doing his own publicity. I got an email here from Dick in Cherry Valley, Illinois. He says, we're a small certified organic farm, Four Sisters Organic Farm in Cherry Valley. As part of our annual renewal process, we have been including wild gathered weeds in our plant listing. I am of the opinion that, as was discussed on today's show, the use of herbicides and pesticides are more extensive in the suburbs than in the city. For over 30 years ago, when in Maywood, Illinois, and encountered an elderly woman gathering flower buds from a chicory plant growing from the parkway. When I inquired as to how she was going to utilize the buds, she was only able to respond in Italian, cicoria, or something like that. Since I had studied, Italian. Since I had studied some botany, I understood she was merely telling me the name of the plant. Since that time, so many years ago, I have been interested in the subject of the use of weeds. Just within the past few days, a customer at our farm stand mentioned that as a young man, he gathered sufficient quantities of pigweed that his family froze him for winter use, which is, of course, amaranth. And amaranth is one of the plants that Melanie was talking about or has written about in her book, The Front Yard Forager. And I'm sorry I didn't have a little more time with Mike at the end of the first hour. He's got a really good point. And when I was talking to Melanie and I said, there are some things I agree with you with and some things I don't. The idea that we are a global plant community is controversial. The point is, plants that we would not have wanted here have arrived here. How do we deal with them? Are they causing species loss of our natives? How important is that globally for the future? These are all questions that need to be answered. This is a topic for conversation. Because we're not going to, we can't go back. We've opened up the communication. We've opened up the travel in the world. The world is connected. I'll be honest with you. I look at the, and actually this is something that Carla may want to, talk about a little bit because you were in Ghana, this past year.
Yes. A couple times.
Carla Wittstock with the Aquascape Foundation. You must be looking at the Ebola crisis right now and, you know, wondering how close you were to that.
Definitely have read a bunch of articles on that. And we are meeting next week. We are supposed to go to Ghana next year. So that is definitely something that
it's a consideration because it's unless people act fast, it's going to continue to spread. And all it takes is somebody hopping on an airplane and landing in New York City or Paris, or London, or Tokyo?
Well, my first priority always when taking a team overseas is obviously our safety. And we have partners in the region who secure our safety. That is their first priority as well. So they would not take us into a region that they felt was unsafe, but definitely something that we're taking into consideration as we plan for next year.
I bet you didn't think I was going to start that seriously in this conversation, did you? Did you guys? Sorry, it just went that way because it's plants and people and diseases and insects. It's a global phenomenon.
Yes. And ponds.
And ponds everywhere. There you go. There's the segue. That's my guy, the pond guy. Greg Wittstock in the studio. Carla Wittstock. They're both here, and that's because you see, you ride the limo now. It's a, you just don't drive into the city. You get in the limo because you're a big time TV star.
Hey, not bad. You know, I got to do Facebook all the way down.
And I saw it. You linked to me and on Facebook, and I saw that, and people have already responded. And by the way, congratulations on your show.
Thanks. Yeah, we've been shooting a reality show end of last year and the beginning of this year, and it just aired starting on September 9th on Nat Geo Wild, and it's been a wild ride indeed.
I bet it is. I was at your party, launch party. Got to see the episode shot at the Lincoln Park Zoo, so we were at the Lincoln Park Zoo, and that's where you had put together a couple of water features, ponds. But you've been going all over the country to do this.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, how things will happen. They started shooting us for the reality series of what our business is, which is building backyard water features, in the last week of October in Chicago. So we filmed all the way up until the week of Thanksgiving, which was at the Lincoln Park Zoo. And then we hit the road. We went to Florida in January, and California in February, and March into Georgia, and then wrapped up filming in April and May in Chicago with pickups and got all put together and just premiered this month on Nat Geo Wild.
Yeah. Have you had a response yet?
Oh, yeah, it's been fantastic. So
it can't hurt the business, I would think.
You know, Mike, the number one thing is people don't realize what they can get in their backyard with. And I think every yard needs a water feature, mm-hmm. and everybody wants a water feature. They might not know it yet, and our show, Pond Stars, will hopefully do that.
Folks should know that Aquascape Inc. is basically the largest pond. Are you the largest pond builder in the country?
We're the largest water feature company in the world.
So in the world.
Started out of my garage in Wheaton in 1991 when I was a college student. Started out of my bedroom in 1982 when I put my first indoor turtle pond in a indoor. I put actually a swimming pool in my bedroom, and it leaked. And my mom said I had to get the turtles out of the house, and I went into the backyard to put a pond in. And that was when I was a 12-year-old kid growing up in Wheaton.
And look where you are now.
Yeah,
man. The Nat Geo Wild
channel
and more. I mean, and setting up this wonderful foundation. One of the things I like about what you do in your business is that you've taken your good fortune and your success, and you've put together a foundation so that you can help people enjoy clean water. And how many countries have you been to, Carla?
We've done 5 water projects so far.
And you were planning to go back to Ghana next year as well?
Yes, we're definitely doing another trip in 2015. I'm just not sure. We have several options out on the table mm-hmm. right now, so we are evaluating all of those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get back to the show. Again, if folks want to see it, it's still running. You had, what, 6 initial episodes?
Yeah, we did 6 builds, or 6 shows, 12 builds.
You're speaking jargon now. You're speaking TV.
Yeah, yeah.
6 builds. Well, although that's actually pond jargon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, so it premiered September 9th on Nat Geo Wild, Pond Stars. And it goes all the way for the next month or so because we have 6 shows that we actually were able to produce.
Uh-huh.
Thousands of hours of footage. A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Yeah. I want to ask you about that. What you were doing was jobs that you would have done anyway, or were they jobs given to you because of the TV series?
No, nothing was given to us. It was all our customers.
Yeah. So you had these lined up anyway, and you said, okay, you might want to videotape us doing this job. This will be a good one for you.
Well, we had all of the jobs sold in Chicago, so that's where we started. But uh-huh. then when we had to travel to other states, since we were only a local builder but an international supplier, we tapped into our certified Aquascape contractor network. So there's certified Aquascape contractors all over North America.
Uh-huh.
And it was their customers that we filmed for the show for all the out-of-state builds.
But you took your team down to those projects.
Yes.
And you have basically 4 people
yourself, and who are your other teammates?
Well, my two longest standing guys in the company, Ed Ballou, he's the scientist.
I know, I think of him as the professor of Gilligan's Island.
Absolutely, yeah. And then we have Gilligan himself, which is Brian Helfrich. He's been with me 19 years, just behind Ed at 21, and he's the designer, he's the master designer, he's an incredible, incredible water feature designer, and then there's me, who's the skipper, the boss. So the three main characters for us, and then we needed a fourth guy to basically be able to teach and show, because there's an educational component of our builds. And so that's Chris Hansen. He started with us last July, and all of a sudden in October, he's filming a reality TV show. So it was a pretty interesting ride for him as well.
And you should know that there are still some episodes. I think you've got...
Yeah, this Tuesday, the 23rd, will be Welcome to the Jungle, which we
I thought it was California Streaming.
That was last Tuesday. It'll be on again. They keep reshowing them.
Okay.
But every Tuesday is the new premiere. So for the next 4 weeks, there'll be a new premiere each night. This one's Welcome to the Jungle down in St. Augustine, Florida. And we converted an overgrown backyard. We cut into the jungle and put a sweet water feature in there for his a young six-year-old girl who wanted to connect with her father. And they did it through fish.
Are you learning stuff all the time as you're putting these things in? Is there something, or have you seen everything at this point, building ponds?
You've definitely not seen everything, because every water feature is a unique work of art, one-of-a-kind custom creation. But the process to build it remains pretty much the same. But every setting is different. Every rock you use is unique. So each one is a unique work of art.
And I notice that the four of you, there's obviously other people behind the scenes, but you guys do... A lot of that, it's hands-on. It's, you know, it's sort of in terms of let's scope out the situation. We're driving the Bobcat. We're bringing in the rocks and everything.
Oh, yes. It's up to us to get it done. Obviously, we're working with our certified network when we're out of town, but this is what we do. I mean, we build ponds. This is physical work. I mean, typical day we'll be moving 4, 5, 6 tons of stone, and we'll be hauling out dirt and everything else. So, I mean, this is, but you know what? You get a great sense of accomplishment when you see what you can step back and actually accomplish that day. When I'm working in the office and pushing paper and doing phone calls, not nearly the sense of accomplishment I get when I see what I've done with my own two hands in someone's yard.
Well, how much of that do you do in the office versus what you do in the field? Did you just go back out in the field for the TV show, or do you find yourself out there anyway?
Well, this is my 23rd year in business, and so I have about 115 teammates. And any day that I get to be in the field is a great day. But I would say 95% of my time the last 15 years has been in the office. So I've had to get back into a little bit of football playing shape out there, you know, so that I can hang with the guys. But it's fun being out there. Definitely it was a reversal of roles back to where I used to be and how I grew up when I was a kid working out of my parents' garage.
Carly, I bet you haven't seen a lot of him in the last year or so, have you?
No, actually. Hopefully.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, we'll discuss this on the way home.
Unless she goes down there and works on the projects with you, I assume that you're traveling, you've been traveling all over the place.
Pond Stars has been a lot of fun for my family as well. Obviously, I have two young boys, and they think it's super fun and super cool that Dad has his own TV show. So, along with leaving town a lot, we also have a lot of benefits for the show. The kids are really having a lot of fun with it.
So. Oh yeah, I bet in different places they get to hang out, and that must be great.
We actually spent the month of December in the Dominican Republic. We wanted to serve down there and show the kids what it's like in a third world country. And our original goal, Mike, was to spend 8 months down there and homeschool them, getting to learn Spanish. Maybe I'd pick up a little bit of too for my skill set and Carlos as well. But the TV show came right in the middle of that, so we only spent a month.
But that's interesting, because I knew about that a year ago or so. The first time I talked to you on this show, I knew that you had an interest in the Dominican Republic, and you had been planning to, yeah, as you said, basically move the family. Is that just to give them a world view, your kids and yourself?
You know what? There was a lot of components to it, but we really felt like, what an experience for our kids to kind of break out of their little bubble that they live in, you know, with their routine, and really just do something amazing and serve in a third world country and really get a perspective that you just can't get living in St. Charles, Illinois.
Obviously not. I mean, it just seems like that's a really good thing to turn kids into more rounded human beings.
Definitely. My kids have been too young to join the Aquascape Foundation this far, but my older son is getting there. We're definitely thinking about taking him at some point soon. And this was just a great opportunity for our family to, you know, experience something really, really outstanding.
You know, I'm kind of tempted to ask people to call in if they got pond questions. I mean, if I did that, would you be able to answer a couple? I don't know.
Carla can answer anything.
Carla. You give it to Carla, right? 773-763-9278. Oh, and if you happen to have seen Pond Stars, give me a call. You can give a review of it. As you went along, has it become easier to do this with the TV thing going on? How much does the TV thing get in the way?
Boy, you're just poking the bear there, aren't you?
I am poking the bear because this is, you know, this is not just fluff PR stuff. I want to know what's really going on back there. I've done TV and it's hard. It's a lot of work, and sometimes you got to reshoot stuff. And what happens if you're placing a big rock and they didn't get the shot? You can't really do that over again, can you?
You know, I had to reset my context, which was I am filming a reality show, and every once in a while I get to build a pond. So there was, a dozen people on set, and the lighting had to be right. The sound had to be right. We're not in a studio here. We're outside, and there's a lot of airplanes and a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if everything is all right, they want to take another take just to maybe get it a little bit different way. So, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, and it was pretty much indescribable to somebody who hasn't been through a high production, you know, reality television show. But with all that said, it was all worth it because I honestly believe it's going to introduce a lot more people to my favorite thing in the world, which is the water feature lifestyle.
I love your fascination with turtles.
Yeah, I like turtles.
And how can you not like a guy who likes turtles? Last week at the...
My wife is just laughing.
I know she is. You should have seen the look on her face just now. Do you have a problem with turtles, Carla?
I own so many turtles. I can't even tell you how many turtles live in my house, near my house, in the backyard. It's insane.
Awesome.
Last week at the Green Metropolis Fair at Lakeview High School, we were there, and I interviewed Timmy the tortoise.
Nice.
Yeah. Big old 70-pound tortoise who was adopted by this woman who rescues animals.
Mm-hmm.
You would appreciate what she's doing, Erin Yance. And when they got him, he hadn't had the right diet, and his back legs basically didn't function. So they created a little cart to put his back legs on, and then he uses his front. Well, what's happened since they've introduced, she's had him for a year, maybe a little more. In that time, because he's now being fed properly, his back legs are beginning to work again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
And I figure that's something that you do you have any tortoises, or is it all turtles?
Well, we have some box turtles, which would be land turtles.
Mm-hmm.
No tortoises. Almost all of our turtles are rescue turtles that people bring into us.
And how often does, okay, this is interesting, because I can remember being a kid and going fishing with my dad. And one time, you know, you sometimes hook a turtle or a turtle.
Yep.
Once it was a snapper,
mm-hmm.
which we put back. Mm-hmm. But we got this other turtle. I don't remember. It was painted turtle or something like that. And, of course, my brother and I wanted to take it home. You know, we don't know what to do with the turtle. We were living in the suburbs, and I don't really know what happened to it. We probably let it go and in a pond or something. But does that happen a lot, where folks think they can handle an animal like this and then they can't?
I think that, as well as people buy them as pets, and then their kids, you know, they last a long time. Turtles live many years.
Yes.
So the kids now are leaving or going away or lost interest in the pet, and the parents don't want the uptake on the aquarium. So, you know, they have an extra turtle. They don't know what to do with it. And if they release it into the wild, a lot of times if the turtle's not native, that's not necessarily a good thing, as we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Or they don't have the survival skills to survive because, you know, they're not used to the food sources out here. So, you know.
And that was one of your ponds that you built in the series. Was
Yeah, we did a turtle rescue pond down at the Gwinnett Environmental and Heritage Center in right in Gwinnett County in Georgia, and a really cool operation. 700 acres. That's all dedicated to preservation. And we ended up building a beautiful turtle rescue pond down there for some of their turtles. And what was really cool is we went back and filmed that about a month ago, which was 5 months after we built it. And those turtles are as happy as a turtle on a log.
To coin a phrase.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's Greg Whitstock. He's the pond guy. Carla Whitstock is here, too. They're both with Aquascape, Inc. You can go to aquascapeinc.com if you're interested in a water feature for your home. And Greg thinks every home should have a water feature.
It turns a house into a home.
And a meal into a banquet or something. I don't know.
Amen.
We'll be back with them in a second. Again, our number is 773-763-9278. Give us a call if you're so inclined.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at illinoisolar.org for more details.
I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Attention, gardeners, attention! You are under attack!
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
That's right, Jean-Luc Picard. The funniest book ever written about gardening is now invading the planet Earth. Author Tom Ogren says, okay, this actually is the funniest book I ever read about gardening. Mike Novak is a hoot. New York Times best-selling author Amy Stewart stopped writing books for 2 minutes to say, I never thought that a description of powdery mildew would make me laugh out loud, but that was before I picked up this book. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise says,
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
See? He's absolutely obsessed by the book. Get your copy today. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. That's aroundtheblockpress.com. Be the first on your block to embrace the attack. Resistance is futile.
Time was drifting. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm very pleased to have in the studio, fresh out of their limousine, Greg and Carla Whitstock. I know I'm making fun of you, but it just sounds like fun, actually, to hop in there and go downtown. Are you going to do anything else while you're here, or are you just jetting back? Have lunch or something?
No, we're going back to take care of the kids. We're still parents.
And the kids, of course, are listening to the show, I hope. Or maybe they're doing something else. Who knows?
They're probably sleeping.
It's Sunday morning, after all. They are with Carla and Greg are with Aquascape Inc. and Aquascape Foundation. Kind of connected to the two is some of the work you do at Aquascape. It involves filtration, making water cleaner, and you work with rain harvesting systems.
Yes, we actually got into that about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, because we thought that it was important to have sustainable water features. And so we capture the rainwater when it lands on people's properties, typically through their gutters, and put them into an underwater rainwater storage mm-hmm. system, which allowed our water features to be more sustainable. But that's where Carla came up with the idea that, hey, people could actually use this to drink this water. We use it to irrigate the lawn. We use it to, you know, supply fresh water for the pond. Carla came up with the brilliant idea of using it to save people's lives. And so that's why she goes and travels the world with the Oxy Foundation.
That's why she's where she is here. And that is brilliant. I mean, it's a way, again, to give back, to take your company and use this. Now, is there enough rainwater harvested in a typical pond to recycle itself, or does it have to be augmented?
100%. I mean, the last week's episode, we did a rainwater harvesting system for the bird pond, and that it was August when I went down, the first week of August. We put that pond in March, and they hadn't filled it once all year. So, you know, obviously, if you need to add water, you can top it off any time. But if you build a large enough storage cistern underground, you can build that pond will never need water.
Wow. And what else are what other kind of innovations are there in pond building right now?
How long do we have? This is my hobby, man. This is my passion. And
it's not a hobby, though. It's your business,
It's my hobby and your business,
so it means you never work a day in your life, as they say, because you do what you enjoy.
I need to remind myself of that sometimes when I'm recutting a scene six times on set, but, you know, our goal is to improve the consumer's experience with water features. So the hobbyist, I want them to have a better experience just like me. So the most innovative thing we came up with a couple years ago was an ion gen that gets rid of algae naturally.
That is one of the things I saw when I went out to Aquascape. That's really cool. How does that work?
It releases copper ions and very small trace elements that allow the copper that is in the water to be absorbed by the algae, and it blows it apart. So you're basically your algae doesn't form. Then that doesn't affect green water, though, because that's, you know, string algae. The green water, which is another form of algae, we just came out with this year a brand new product that's an automatic water treatment injector pump. So you can put bacteria. We only use natural organics in the ponds. We can put bacteria into the water, and it will actually constantly do it for you. So people don't even have to go out there and add water treatments to their pond. It will be done for them with an automatic dosing system.
That's just amazing. Now, when you look at, you're saying you can't work with the string algae, but you must look at news reports of Lake Erie.
Yes.
In that algae.
With all the algae blooms.
And does your brain start racing and thinking, how could I fix this?
Well, ironically, you know, tying back into the rainwater harvesting decision, one of the big things that affects algae blooms is runoff. You know, I mean, look at Chicago. I mean, it's so much impermeable surfaces, and even hard compacted clay that's in a yard with turf on it, with grass, is an impermeable surface considered because the water will run into the stormwater management. We have a combined system here where it's both stormwater and sewer. And so when you have these large fills, this is what goes into Lake Michigan here in Chicago or Lake Erie over there in Cleveland. And, of course, that's what leads to your algae blooms. It's basically man-made pollutants getting into the water and causing an imbalance, and the algae will grow and henceforth fish kills and all of the more messed up of the cycle. So if people, the decentralized solution where they can capture, clean, and reuse water that lands on their property, that is a solution. If we all did our part, we wouldn't have these problems. Eat your heart out, Ed Ballou.
He's just, yeah, the professor's not here. I was hoping that maybe the professor would show up too. But this is the kind of stuff he talks about.
Yeah, man, this is his passion. So turtles are my passion, backyard ponds. His passion is conservation. Of course, we all like each other's things as well. But, you know, he's the one that created the rainwater harvesting system for our company.
Oh,
so
really?
He's been there 21 years. This is a guy that had a degree in limnology and zoology from Eastern Illinois. And, you know, he came to me and said, hey, I love ponds, but, you know, my passion is the environment. And I think we can do something with our little company here and actually change it. And And that, of course, one thing led to the other. And now my wife's going to third world missions trips and putting in clean water systems for people that would die without it.
So where do we go now with PondStars? Is there going to be another batch of episodes?
If I get enough people to tune in on Tuesday nights at 9, then absolutely.
Well, it's 9 Eastern, but isn't it 8 Central?
No, it's 9 Central.
It's 9 Central.
Yep, 10 Eastern. And
10 Eastern, 9 Central.
We get enough viewers, then they'll get us a season 2 and a season 3 and a season 4. And we just came back from our friend's show, Tanked, which is a Cordell tank manufacturer. We put in a nice water feature for them, and they're on season 4. And they are just, you know, going gangbusters over there, putting in custom aquariums. And I don't see a lot of difference between custom aquariums that are inside and ponds that are outside in terms of transforming people's lives, which is ultimately my goal. Is as fun and everything that turtles are and fish and frogs, what's really neat is to see the connection that people have with their water feature. You will 50% of the time we plug a water feature in, Mike, there's a tear that comes out of one, if not both, of the people's eyes, because it's really transformed their space.
That's wonderful. Well, folks, if you're interested in this and seeing Pond Stars, go to Nat Geo Wild, and that's actually channel.nationalgeographic.com/wild. But if you just type in, you know, in search engine Nat Geo Wild, you'll come up with it. I've also got a link to Pond Stars and the Aquascape Foundation and Aquascape Inc. And you guys show up every year at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. If folks want to get a sense of what it is you do, your display is usually the one that everybody wants to see and that there are lines for, because they cannot believe what you can do indoors, let alone outdoors.
Absolutely. You know, we've been working with Tony down there at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show for 7-8 years now.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a labor of love. I mean, we work almost around the clock till midnight, but we get it done, and we love introducing people to the hobby of water features because of the fact that we know that everybody wants a water feature. They just don't know it yet.
Well, Carla, you got anything to add here? I mean, you've been pretty quiet. You're just sort of...
Well, I kind of thought we were here to talk about Pond Stars, and then you started talking about the foundation. So
yeah, well,
I think that's great, too.
I do everything, and well, because I think that the foundation is really important. I mean, and what I hope happens is people watch Pond Stars, and then they investigate Aquascape, and then they realize that there's a foundation connected to it, and it's doing really great work.
Well, we're trying to hopefully get the Aquascape Foundation on a episode of Pond Stars, thus bringing awareness to the plight of people around the world and the worldwide water crisis, and putting a spotlight on that with Pond Stars. So hopefully that might happen in the future.
You must, and before I let you go, you mentioned the water crisis around the world, and you know there are some estimates that up to 2 billion people don't have access to clean water, and you know, who cares what the real number is? It's just there's too many people.
Absolutely.
Who don't. And what you do, and you know, you're affecting small numbers, but you must have this eagerness to go out there and solve these problems. But we have them in our own country too. I mean, we're going to have drought. We have drought in California. It's
more people die from lack of clean drinking water than any other thing that kills people. Every day, 10 Boeing 747s filled with people would be crashing. And that's how many people die every single day from lack of clean drinking water.
Yeah, the thing is, when you go to a third world country and you are actually out in the African bush and you see children that are physically sick, there is nothing that can describe how you feel. There is no picture, there is no number, there is no statistic that can make you feel the way you feel when you see and you touch and you are present in a community where children are physically ill from symptoms of lack of clean water. And it's such a simple thing here in America. It seems so simple to cure. But when you're out in the African bush and there is no clean water, there is nothing that can describe how you feel coming home when you know, now you know what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do something about it, how do you function? How do you live with yourself when you know what you know?
Well spoken. And I thank you for your work and congratulations on Pond Stars. The episode this week again is
Welcome to the Jungle, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock.
Look for it, depending on your cable provider or your dish It'll be on different channels, but it's Nat Geo Wild. That's Greg Whitstock. And Carla, thank you so much for coming all the way to the studio. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having us, Mike.
All right. When we come back, we are going to LaSalle County to have another conversation about those frack sand mines.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases. But there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in mosquito dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, birdbaths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
I was blinded by the devil, born and already ruined. Stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. By his grace I have been touched, by his word I have been healed. By his hand I've been delivered, by his spirit I've been sealed. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Saved.
It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Before we get to Diane and Ashley, we'll do that, and we're getting them on the phone now. Let's go to Richard, and you're on the Mike Novak Show. I understand you had a comment about Ebola.
Yes, good morning. I turned on the radio, and I heard a quick discussion on Ebola virus. There is a wonderful reference called Well-Being Journal. It comes out bi-monthly, and there I came across an article about why the Ebola virus is happens in African countries, whereas while it does happen elsewhere, it's not as rampant. Mm-hmm. And they made a strong correlation between the mineral selenium that's found in the soil. And apparently in the African countries, with the exception of one, and I can't think of that country's name, but they're very deficient. The soils there are very deficient in selenium. So while we're exposed to all kinds of viruses, bacteria, fungi, et cetera, and precautions need to be taken, the reason that it hasn't spread like it has in African countries is because our soils are rich in selenium. So it's worth checking out. The publication is called Well-Being Journal.
Interesting. All right. Well, and I have a feeling that at some point I may have to have a discussion on the show about it. With all the things going on in the world, this seems to be one we should really be keeping our eye on. And this might be a really good point. I appreciate the comment, Richard.
Have a great day, then.
You too. Bye-bye. If you need to work on your lawn right now, we go from Ebola to lawns to ponds to the climate march, whatever. That's this show. If you need to work on your lawn right now, you're set up for the perfect win-win situation. First, this is the best time of the year to help your lawn. Second, if you use Milorganite, you're being environmentally friendly. Milorganite is made of recycled materials. It's 85% organic matter, and it doesn't leach out of the root zone. No need to worry about groundwater or well contamination. Milorganite applied in fall will help your lawn green up faster next spring and help it recover quickly from winter damage. Give your lawn the food it needs, Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you. Let me go back to the phones. I'm going to bring in Diane Gassman, who's a citizen of LaSalle County. Diane, good morning.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Okay. And Ashley, you have to get Diane back. Ashley, I just punched your phone and we lost Diane, but we'll have her back in a second. Ashley, how are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm doing wonderful.
And both Diane and Ashley live out LaSalle way, and I visited them in the past couple of days, and I have to admit it was pretty eye opening, Ashley.
Absolutely! Yeah. Now you know what it's like living on the moon,
or next to the moon. You know, that's actually a really good way of putting it, because what is happening there is that it is being turned into a kind of moonscape. All right, let's see. Hang on, Ashley. I'm going to see if I can do this without losing Diane. Diane, are you with me?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. And as Ashley said, where you guys are right now in LaSalle County, and we're talking about North Utica, we're talking about Ottawa, we're talking about Starved Rock State Park, the area there. We're talking about incorporated parts, we're talking about unincorporated parts. And actually, that whole idea of corporated versus unincorporated is a big part of the equation, isn't it, Diane?
Right, right. We actually are a township. We live in the area of Utica Township, so everything that's happened around us has been annexed into the village of North Utica. So we virtually had no representation or no say in what happened in this area.
Yeah, I have to stop right there, because that is the part that blows my mind, all right? Here you are. There's a strip of homes, and you guys purchased these homes because they backed up on actually all the way to the I&M Canal, and you've got wetlands, and you've got woods, and you've got canyons, small canyons, as somebody said. It might have been you, Diane. It's like a mini Starved Rock in your backyards there.
That's right.
And then the sand mining interests come in. The town of Utica, the village of North Utica, decides that it's going to annex properties to the north of you, properties to the south of you, turn them into frack sand mines, and leave you guys hanging, you know, twisting in the wind, so to speak. Is that an accurate description?
Very accurate. And that happened all within
six months.
So we're virtually a sea of sand mines surrounding an island of homes is basically what we are right now.
And you had no say in this, because
absolutely,
it was the village of North Utica, and they did the annexation. But you can't even vote those people out of office.
No, we cannot. And we actually, at first, we're not sure we could even, you know, we wanted to maybe even try to run for some offices down there, but we are in a township, so we have no say and have no representation in the village whatsoever.
Except now you wake up to sand blasting, you know, explosions.
To the north of us and to the south of us, yes.
Yeah, rattling the windows and scaring
twice a day. Yeah.
And then you took me on the facility, and I look, and lo and behold, they're pouring sand on a pile in violation of what, state laws, federal laws?
Well, they're not wetting that sand, and that sand conveyor is not covered, which it is supposed to be. We also have a berm of coal that was supposed to be removed because it's there. You know, it's not supposed to be there, and it's a hazard to groundwater. So, you know, they're not really following the rules, but it doesn't seem like the rules are being enforced either.
And I said to you, I said, well, why don't you take them to court? And why don't you, you know, cite the violation?
Well, I think, you know, again, the proof of burden is always on us. So, and so is the financial part of it. So we've been battling for 3 years to just try and get a property protection plan so that we can leave here with our property values when we are ready to do so. And it's a very expensive process, as you know. So it's very difficult with just 22 families who are trying to preserve their property.
And that's the other part. They're going to take, you know, the song, they pave paradise and put in a frac sand mine.
I do know the song.
Yeah. And that's exactly what's going on. Let alone the part where you're just fighting for a decent property value. You can't sell the house. Who's going to buy the house between two frac sand mines now? But the idea that you have this beautiful land that basically is being paved over. And worse than that, the big old pits being dug. You showed me the pits there in the area. We went on a 4-hour tour of sand mines, and it bowled me over. We looked at one pit that, Ashley, as you said, was dug in the 1860s.
Yeah, that's correct. The U.S. Silica.
Yeah.
Since 1860s, located here in Ottawa.
Yeah. Well, that pit is still there. You know, what do these folks think is going to be there after they stop digging? There's going to be pits there forever.
And that's part of our concern. The reclamation is not happening. And as Ashley said, that's been there for over 100 years. And it's
150.
Filling with water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I discovered that I was fascinated by is that there's a whole bunch of sand companies going in there. And there are different people in different areas of LaSalle County, and everybody's situation is a little bit different. You know, you have that. There's the people by Starved Rock. That sand mine has not been dug yet because it's still in the courts. Will it be dug? Who knows? Who knows at this point? But that's not going to stop the rest of the county from turning into a moonscape.
Yeah.
No.
That was the other thing that kind of disturbed me was that you folks have, you guys haven't given up because you're fighting, but it seems that you're battling this juggernaut. These people, the politicians, the lawmakers, the city of the village of Utica, the county of LaSalle, Governor Quinn, Lisa Madigan, the General Assembly, have all, I don't know, betrayed your trust is the way I would put it.
I mean, they've listened to us, but we have not had anyone actually come to us with any kind of plan. You know, they're listening, but again, I think the job issue is the big concern. This is bringing all these jobs to LaSalle County. And as you said in your article on Facebook, they're limited short-term jobs. It's not a job that's going to be here forever. And you can see by the holes left in the ground, that land is no longer producing anything. It's sitting there.
Yes, I think it might have been you, maybe somebody else mentioned the other day that the number of jobs you have when you have farmland is actually greater than the number of jobs when you have a frac sand mine. Is that correct?
Well, when you look at it into perpetuity, yes, because those jobs are forever. You always can produce from the land. Once this sand mine is gone, that land is no longer able to produce anything. And you saw it. I mean, the land is raped and pillaged. There's nothing else that can be done with it. It fills up with water. Or in our case in LaSalle County, hazardous waste, garbage, landfills.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in and say that, you know, we've been painted as the job killers and the sand companies as the job creators. You know, I saw this quote in yesterday's paper that, like, epitomizes this very divide here in LaSalle County. And it said, it's by Upton St. Clair, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it." You know, all they ever see is this avarice. But, you know, what does it matter if this nation is energy independent, if getting to that place means, you know, a beekeeper livelihood is threatened in the process, or the children along the Osage curves are forced to stay inside and play because deadly glass dust consumes their neighborhood day in and day out.
Yeah, one of the things that happened is that we were looking at one of these sand mines, and Diane said, "Oh, my legs are stinging here. I think we're being hit with sand." And we probably were, because it flies up. All the people living in the area get this, and you're also inhaling it, and it's carcinogenic. That's not good. And this is something that you have to deal with every day. I was there, you know, maybe for 5 minutes outside that sand mine. But folks live next to them there. And that's the other thing. The people making these decisions in these businesses really don't care about the well-being of the people who live there.
No, the health and safety issues are really at the top of our list, because we have to live here right now. There's no way out. And on top of that, we have to live in what we consider at this point in time very hazardous health conditions. You know, we have silica sand blowing all the time now. I mean, you saw the mountains of sand that are out there. You didn't see anything wetting them down. So as they start to dry, and it's very windy today, it's blowing and drifting, and those particulate matters stay in the air for a very, very long period of time. And that's just our air. We're concerned about our water, you know, and the amount of water that they're taking in this process. And now that's increasing because of a slurry line that they've just, you know, passed. So, you know, it just doesn't seem to stop.
Yeah, we didn't even get into the slurry pipes that they're digging all over the place and running that stuff. And we didn't even get into the idea that there's a Superfund site that I'm not saying they're building on, but messing with in the neighborhood of.
Proposed, yeah. They bought that property and proposed a processing plant adjacent to a federal Superfund site, which was closed and capped, but is still, you know, very hazardous site, and you know it should not be touched at all, or any work around it. But you know that site was purchased by this company, and they were going to put a processing plant on it. Again, we did have some say in that because that was through the county, so we were able to get that moved, which was a good thing. But now that processing plant is in front of our homes.
Well, I know that you're continuing to fight this. Ashley gave me a letter that she wrote to Governor Quinn on September 15th to get him to pay attention to this.
Yeah, I've written to Governor Quinn, the Lieutenant Governor, my state senator, Representative Dick Durbin, you know, you name it, about the air quality concerns in LaSalle County. And, you know, due to the absence of state or federal, you know, federal standard for ambient silica, I'm requesting the immediate sanction of a statewide moratorium on all new mines pending this formation of a health-based value for respirable silica of 3 micrograms per cubic meter for PM4.
Well, I'm wishing you luck in that. And one other thing before I let you go that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is that this costs money, and you guys have spent $50,000-$60,000 already defending your own properties against the sand mining interests. If anybody's listening who's a lawyer would like to get involved, they should contact me, and I can put you in contact with Diane because. It would be a good thing. I know that certain other folks in the area have managed to hook up with Northwestern and Northwestern University, and this stuff ain't cheap. And you have a good case, and I think people should know about it. I wish somebody would call me or write me, and so I can put them in touch with you, Diane, and the folks out there in LaSalle County. I have to let you go because Lisa Albrecht is standing by, but we will be talking again. Thank you for your hospitality when I was out there the other day. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, and thanks again for shedding light on us. We really appreciate it.
I will continue to do that. All right, take care. Have a good Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. As we wrap up, we've got to go to New York City, and Lisa Albrecht. Come in, Lisa.
How's it going?
All right. How's it going on your end? What are you seeing there?
Well, we are fighting our way through the crowd. It's as if, like, honestly, the crowd's as big as if the Cubs were in the World Series. it's shoulder to shoulder. You can't actually get anywhere right now. It'll take a while, I imagine, if the beginning of the parade is still not leaving for another 30 minutes. And there is nowhere for people to go. Oh, I guess the beginning of the parade has begun, but it'll take kind of like traffic. It takes a while for the blocks back here to get. I cannot believe, like, I thought the crowd was huge when we were on the phone before, but literally there is nowhere to move.
Wow. I've seen some of the photos that you've put on my Facebook page.
There's a helicopter helicopter going by. The news crews are out here. They're in the air. They're everywhere.
And
next to some women. Where are you from?
Lisa, what I want you to...
Oh, University of what? University of Virginia, and they have little wind turbines.
Well, I know you've been taking shots and putting them on my Facebook page. I want you to take a shot that gives a representation of the size of the crowd.
I put up a couple of videos. I don't know if you've been able to see those, where I walk 360 degrees just trying to give some idea of scale. It's really difficult to communicate at this point just how many people are here. Everybody's in a great mood. Everybody is like, excuse me, pardon me, thank you. There's children. I just took a great picture of a little girl who made a poster that said something about keep the tar sands in the ground. And I think she must have been 9 or 10, and she was so excited. People are thrilled to see other people's creativity. And this little girl was just beaming that I wanted to take her picture. Oh, and I found Laura Chamberlain from the Frack Free Illinois team.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, post as much as you can. I know you're going to be really busy. I'm glad you're there. That's Lisa Albrecht reporting from the People's Climate March in New York City. And when you get back to town, I think we might need to have a report here on the station as well on my show.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And I'll keep trying to post pictures. I'm just having a tough time getting a signal, and my battery's almost dead.
Oh, boy. Well, see if you can charge it up.
I'll tell you about my favorite phrase. What does democracy look like? This is what democracy looks like.
And my favorite phrase is go green or...
Go home.